Rabosai, let's just backtrack so that we can move forward. If you take a look on Daf Dalid Amud Aleph, it says about 10 lines up from the bottom, V'chein Misha Pirsa Ishto Nida, that just like in the case where they buried the father of the Chassan, the mother of the Kala, and they postponed the Avelus by a week, during that week, they, the Chassan and Kala, have to be separated, right? Hu Yoshein Bein HaNoshim, V'hi Yoshein Bein HaNoshim. So too, the Brice establishes, Misha Pirsa Ishta Nida, Hu Yoshein Bein HaNoshim, V'hi Yoshein Bein HaNoshim. And this is something which the Gemara is going to object to. We don't find in the halachas of Nida that a husband and wife have to be separated with an Isa, a strict Isa Yichud, during the Nidus period. Okay, so that's the piece that we covered last time. And the Brisa continues and establishes that that ein monim tachshitim in akala kol shloshim yom, benkachu benkach, lo yivo, lo be'erv Shabbos, lo motzai Shabbos. We'll get back to that in a minute. And then the Gemara says, Omar Mar, we just learned to the Brisa, Hu Yoshein Bein HaNoshim, V'hi Yoshein Bein HaNoshim, is there is an Isur Yichud during this period of Yimei HaSimcha, is Mesayei Leil Rabbi Yochanan, Diyom Rabbi Yochanan, Afal Pisha Omru, Ein Avelus B'moed, Aval Dvarim Shebet Sina Noek, that if the dead was buried on Chol HaMoed, there is an Isur Tashmish Amita even before Avelus begins. And again, the parallel is very striking. Here, in our case of Meis Aviv Shel Chasam, we begin with Shivas Yimei HaMishteh and postpone the Shivas Yimei HaAvelus until afterwards. And nevertheless, during the days of Simcha, there's an Isur Tashmish Amita. Clear? Mm-hmm. And that same halacha we saw in its paradigm form in Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Yochanan says if you bury the mess during the Moed, even though Avelus will only begin after the Moed, nevertheless there's an Isur Tashmish Amita Dvarim Shebitzina during the Moed. Fine. Dorash Rav Yosef Berei Derabba Mishmei Derabba. We just finished saying that in this case, where there's an Isur Tashmish Amita, there has to be also an Isur Yichud. Lo Shanu Ela Shalo Baal Avalin Baal Ishto Yisheno Imo. If they never consummated the marriage, then the Rabbanon are very choshesh, they're very suspicious that maybe his Yetzer will get the best of him, and therefore he'll have Bia, violate this Isur, and they impose the strict, harsh Isur Yichud. But if he was already Boel, if on one occasion he had already consummated the marriage, is then Ishta Yishena Imo, they're allowed to sleep in the same room, and there is no Isur Yichud. So the question is obvious. Our case of Meis Aviv Shel Chassan, they rushed the Chassan and Kala into the Chuppah. They implemented Bia Rishona. Then they started Shivas Yimei HaMishteh. And the Braisa says they have to be separated one from the other. But they already had Bi'ila. So that's obviously a contradiction to Rav Yosef. So the Gemara says, here in our case of marriage, Dibibal Askina, they already had the Bila Rishona, right? That's what we saw on the top of the page. It says, Uboel Bi'ilas Mitzvah. And nevertheless, Afal Pichain, it says, Hu Yoshem Ben Anoshim, Yishen Ben Anoshim. So the answer is that we missed the boat here on Rav Yosef. We thought Rav Yosef made his comment in the context of our sugya of Meis Aviv Shel Chassan. Ki ka'amar, Rav Yosef was making a statement in an entirely different context. Apirsa ishto nida. He was pointing out that in the case of a married couple and she became a nida, then once they had consummated the marriage on one particular occasion, henceforth, there is no Isur Yichud. So the Gemara says, but wait a minute. Ha v'chein katani. If you go back to the Braisa that we began with, the Braisa says, v'chein misha pirsa ishto nida. It says that, and the same halacha applies even in the case of ishto nida. So if you're going to tell me that Rav Yosef's statement was referring to Pirsa Ishta Nida, and there he said that if she became a Nida before they consummated their relationship, then there's an Issa Yichud. Correct? What are you going to do with the word V'chein? Right? The word V'chein indicates that whether it's a case of Pirsa Ishta Nida, or it's a case of Avel, where the Chasan is in Avelus, in both cases there's an Issa Yichud. The Brisa postulates an absolute equation between the Chasan during the Shivas Yimei HaMishteh, where he has to oblige, he has to observe an Issa Yichud, with the case of Pirsa Ishta Nida. Now, if you're telling me that Rav Yosef said that in the case of Nida, if they had not consummated the marriage, there's an Issa Yichud. If they did consummate the marriage, there's no longer an Issa Yichud. Then we should find a direct, exact parallel in the case of a Chasan. And that's not true. Because in the case of a Chasan, despite the fact that they had consummated the marriage, Ubal Bilas Mitzvah, nevertheless, they're still imposed, we still impose upon them an Issa Yichud. So the Gemara says, Hachi Ka'amar. Now we're on Daf Dalid Amid Beis. So the Gemara says, Hachi Ka'amar. Let's understand the Brisa's V'chein as what we call a partial equation, not a total equation. Meaning the V'chein wants to establish that just like in the case of Chasan, we find a married couple and we impose upon them an Issa Yichud, so too in the case of a Nida situation, we find a married couple with an Issa Yichud. But let's not go into all the nitty-gritty details. In the case of a Chasan, we're going to impose that Issa Yichud, even though they did consummate the marriage on one occasion. In the case of a married couple, and she became a Nida, we will only impose the Issa Yichud in a very minute, rare occasion, and that is where she became a Nida before they consummated the marriage. So let's read the Gemara inside. Hachi kamar v'chein misha pirsa ishta nida v'lo baal. Then the halacha is identical to the case of meis aviv shel chasan of avelus, where the isur yichud applies even though he did have be'ila. Is hu yoshen ben hanoshim v'ishto yishena ben hanoshim. Okay. So now, the Gemara raises the following question. This is really where we wrapped it up last week. We're finding now, in the light of Rav Yosef, that there's a Chumrah in Avelus that doesn't exist in Nida. In Nida, once they consummated the relationship on one occasion, there never ever will be an Issa Yichud between husband and wife. In the case of Chasan, despite the fact that they had consummated the marriage, we're still afraid that he might get the, you know, Zaytar might get the best of him, and therefore we put an extra siag, an extra stricture, and imposing an Issa Yichud on him, even though they had already consummated the marriage. Is Lameira, therefore, must be the premise that underlies the principle of Rav Yosef, is Avelus Kilule Minida. That with regard to Avelus, we're afraid that it's Kal Bienov, you know, he'll be light about it, and he'll allow the temptation of Bia to get the best of him, unless we impose a very serious Isur Yichud, whereas in the case of a Nida situation, that's Chomer B'Einov, and therefore he would never allow the Eitzahar to get the best of him, and there's no need to impose a harsh Isur Yichud. And the problem with that, the Gemara says, is when we analyze which malachos a woman is allowed to do on behalf of her husband and compare that to Avelus on the one hand and Nida on the other hand. And again, if we're talking about what we call malachos sheyesh bahem tircha, for example, if a woman has to grind the wheat in order to make flour or bake the breads or she has to clean the clothing and so forth and so on, all those are acceptable, they're permissible, both in the case of Avelus and in the case of Nida. But then we get to Malacha Sheyesh Bahem Chiba. And here we find that the halacha becomes more strict in the case of Nida than it does in the case of Avelus. And Avelus is going to be a lot more, you know, how should I say, we loosen the rope. Hamar Rav Yitzchak Bar Chanina Amar Rav Huna, kol melachos she'ish osel abayla, nida osel abayla. Any melachos which are listed in the Mishnah that a woman within the context of marriage is responsible for, she continues to be responsible to implement those melachos even during her state of nidus. Chutz, but there are three malachos that are categorized as chiba that have to be avoided during the period of nidus. And what are those three malachos of chiba, of close intimacy? Number one is mezigas hakos. You know, she pours the water into the concentrated wine and offers him a cup of wine. That already is an act of chiba. Number two, hatsas hamita, which means that she makes the beds. We'll soon see later that it's in his presence. And number three, harchatzas panav yadav v'raglav. They didn't have, you know, showers and sophisticated methods like we have. What they used to do is they used to take water and pour it into a basin, and then a person would go into that basin and bathe. And that is prohibited, even though she doesn't actually have any physical contact. Again, if there's negiyah, that's asur, that's not this. That's not being addressed here by Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak is extending it even in cases of malachas where there is no negiyah. And he's saying that since these malachas have a certain element of closeness, of intimacy to them, they have to be avoided during nidus. And we're not going to say, well, wait a minute, nidus is so chomer bienov that he would never even dream of violating, transgressing the isur. And yet in Avelus, it seems that Rabbi Yitzchak is much more liberal about these malachos, and he quotes a brisa that says, "Afal pi she'amru she'ein adam rashoi lachuf es ishto, lios kocheles v'lios pokeses." Kocheles, Rashi says, is eyeliner, some sort of makeup around the eye. Pokeses is rouge that they put on their face. And if she, his wife, is in a state of avelus, he cannot expect that she do these cosmetic, to beautify herself. And not only that, B'emes Amru, the Brisa goes a step further, that if she is an Avelus, Rachmana Litzlan, then he should, to some extent, identify with her Avelus. And we'll see exactly how that expressed itself in just a minute. But nevertheless, as far as those Malacha Shalchiba are concerned, during Avelus, she is actually permitted. Mozeges lo kos matzas lo mita machetzes lo ponav yodav raglav. We see that in the case of Isur Avelus, we're not afraid that he will get, that the Yetzar will get the best of him and he'll violate the Isur Tashmash Amita of Avelus. The natural protective intuition is a shield that protects him, and you don't even have to worry about her implementing various romantic kind of actions of malachos. And yet in Nida, we say on the contrary, she's not allowed to do that for him. So quite clearly, if you ask the question, where is it more chomer bienov? Yeah. Nida is more chomer bienov. No, just the opposite. You were asking the question, where's the halacha more machmer? You're right. Sorry, I wasn't clear. What I meant to say is, if we compare it nidus to avelus, where would you say there's more of a natural tendency of, you know, I wouldn't even dream of violating this isur? It would seem from the halacha of Rabbi Yitzchak that dafka in avelus there's this built-in natural protection which will inhibit him from doing this action, and therefore we are liberal permitting all these malachas shalchiba. Neither, we're going to be very careful about it. And this leads us to the exact opposite conclusion of Rav Yosef, who said that in terms of the Isa Yichud, in the case of Nida, Ishto Nida, once they consummated marriage on one occasion, there is no Isa Yichud. right? That she is living with him in the same house, in the same room. Whereas in Avelus, we found that the Braisa established a very harsh Isur Yichud, even though the Chas and Kala have already consummated the marriage on one occasion. We're still afraid that the Yetzer Hara will get the best of him. So there seems to be a stira here between this Braisa about Malach al Shalchiba, in the comparison between Nida and Avelus, and the statement of Rav Yosef. So the Gemara now wants to whittle down the scope of this Braisa that we just learned and assume that this Braisa is addressing a case where the wife has lost one of her relatives. She is the Avela. And that's going to explain why the Halacha in this Braisa allows for a little bit more leeway.
Why require separation? Leeway or separation?
Leeway, meaning allowing her to do these very intimate malachas on his behalf, because she is the Avela. Whereas the Braisa that imposes a more strict and harsh demand of Yichud, of an Isa Yichud, is talking about a case where he is an Avel. And you could already see that the Gemara is going to punch holes into this theory. But let's just...
I would have thought the other way.
And why? Lo kasha, the Gemara says, kan ba velus di day, kan ba velus di da. If it would have been his avelus, then we have to be very strict about him. And even though he's in a avel, he might be flippant about his Isur avelus if the Yetzer Hara gets the best of him. And therefore, we have to be very strict, imposing a harsh Isur Yichud upon him. But in this Braisa, where we allow a Nida, I'm sorry, where we allow an Avela to do these malachos of Chiba on behalf of her husband, that's a case of Avelus Dida, where she is an Avela. And what does that mean? What are we worried about? We're always worried about his Yetzer Hara. The halacha assumes that a woman is less desperate for this kind of intimacy than a man is. Okay, that's the psychology here. Personally, I think that's true.
I would have thought the opposite.
Wait one second, Aaron. Before we go the opposite. Okay. So again, so we're talking about what? We're talking about Yitzro Tokfo, right? That's the fear.
Uh-huh.
Yitzro Tokfo. Oh. So the Gemara says the following. If she is experiencing Avelus, she's not going to let him, because of his Yitzro Tokfo, persuade her, seduce her, if you will, into a violation of her Isurei Avelus. On the other hand, if she doesn't have the Isur Avelus, if he lost his father, Nebuch, and now, if you don't impose an Isur Yichud, the Yetzer might get the best of him, she may be easily persuaded, again, easily meaning relative, because she doesn't have the Isur Avelus. Go ahead. Now the floor is yours. I just had to get that out.
I hear that sign. But you could argue, I would think you could argue as strongly that if he's in Avelus, that he's going to be more careful in terms of Hilchos Avelus and in terms of his own
personal. You could definitely put an argument together.
Right.
But within himself, you know, he's looking for Aras Heter to his own Iser because of the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is clouding his vision. And she, on the other hand, doesn't have this Isur, so she doesn't feel, you know, the severity of the Isur is not on her mind, and therefore, you know, he may, if the Yetzer gets the best of him, may end up violating this Isur. But on the other hand, if she's an Avelus, oh boy, she's not going to let him go near her, so to speak.
First, can I ask two factual questions?
Yeah.
What is the punishment for being over the Isur Bia during Avelus?
It's hard to say because, again, Avelus is only Durabanon, so maybe we might give him what's called Makas Mardus. Are you familiar with Makas Mardus? It's like someone who eats chametz in the fifth hour on Erev Pesach, which is only Durabanon, we give him Makas Mardus.
And the Kala after their first Bia is the Isser of Yichud has to do with her a veil is not to do with her being a Nida. Because by virtue of...
Wait. You got me a little confused here.
By virtue of the...
Say it once again. What are we talking about? We're talking about Ishto Nida, or we're talking about she's an Avelis? What's
both.
The case?
She's an Avelis.
And she's a Nida?
And she had her Fabia.
I would say the following. Wait. I'm sorry.
The case in the Gemara, the exact case in the Gemara.
That you could have... Okay, fine. No, I got confused because I thought you were combining Avelis with Nida. Just let me, on the side, this is not your question, but if you combine Avelis with Nida, then all the Chumras of Avelis would be completely lifted. If she was also a Nida.
You'd be scared of Karius.
Yeah. Okay, but now that's not your question. You're asking about... What's the case now? The case is
just the case in the Gemara, but now...
She's not a Nida in the Gemara, she's an Avela.
But then they have Bia Rishona. And then they're Parsh after the Bia Rishona. So she's not technically...
Well, again...
just one second.
You're throwing me off here. The difference between Bia Rishona and not Bia Rishona is relevant to Nida. We're now discussing Avelus, and we're differentiating between his Avelus and her Avelus.
Right.
And we find a stira here. On the one hand, we find within Avelus a tremendous chumra of an Issa Yichud. On the other hand, we find in Avelus a heter for her to do Molochos Shalchiba. The Gemara reconciles that contradiction by saying that it depends who's in Avelus. Now again, when we're talking about Avelus, it's irrelevant whether they had Bia or they didn't have Bia. In fact, the harsh requirement of an Issa Yichud that's imposed on the Chassid is even though, despite the fact that they had Bia. In the case where she's in Avelus, the Gemara argues, based on that Braisa, then she's allowed to do these malachos shalchiba, and we're not afraid of Yitzro Takfa.
But the Yitzro is subject to his fear of Onish, no? That's the premise. That he
Again,
is.
Now we're talking about Avelus, so I don't know if the fear of Onish here plays a role. You know what I'm saying? If you're talking about why we're more machmir in Avelus than we are in Nida, Haraya than in Avelus, even though he's already consummated the marriage, we're still going to impose an Issa, then you're right. Then we're going to say that the fear of punishment is that much more reduced and diminished in the case of Avelus as opposed to Nida, and therefore we'll have an Issa. But leaving that on the side, at this particular juncture in the Shaka Vitari of the Gemara, we're comparing Avelus to Avelus. Avelus where he's an Avel, to Avelus where she's an Avel, and we're finding a stira. And the answer is that there is no stira, because when are we going to impose an Issa Yichud in Avelus between a husband and wife? When he's an Avel. On the other hand, when are we going to be a very liberal, permitting her to do Malacha Shalchiba on behalf of his? That's if she's an Avel. And that's what the Gemara now is trying to analyze. And the Gemara says the following. You're going to tell me that the Issa Yichud is only in a case where he's an Avel? V'ha Avi Shal Chasan O Ima Shal Kalak Tani. The Braisa explicitly imposes an Issa Yichud in two different cases, whether he lost his father or she lost her mother. So obviously we're talking about a case of Avelus Dida, where she's an Avelus. And nevertheless, we impose an Issa Yichud. So we're back to square one with a stira between the Braisa and Rav Yosef. Because are we going to be more mekil in the case of Avelus Dida, where she's an Avelus? The answer is no, because we're imposing an Issa Yichud even though she's an Avelus. So the Gemara again uses this kind of partial v'chein approach. The technology of the Gemara is ki katani ashara, that this braisa is addressing many different dinim, the most fundamental of which is that we postpone the burial of the dead, we rush the chasan and kala into the chuppah, we begin the Shivas Yimei HaSimcha and then postpone the Avelus. All those dinim apply in one of two cases equally, whether his father died or her mother died. However, with regard to the Iser of Yichud, the Gemara insists that that wasn't part of the equation. The Iser Yichud only applies in the case where his father died and he's an Avel. But in fact, if she is an Avelus, there is no Iser Yichud. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, I have another Bryce. So again, the Gemara is just flying here with Bryces that are coming out of the woodwork here, to prove that the law of Avelus, in terms of the relationship between a husband and a wife, if she's an Avelu or he's an Avelu, always remains standard, always remains identical, whether he's an Avel or she's an Avel. Umi shayni, and can you differentiate between his avelus and her avelus? Ben avelus di day, avelus di dov. Asan, you have another brisa. Misha meis chamiv o chamoso. So now she's an avelus. Eino yachol lachuf es ishto lios kocheles velios pokeses. Since she is an avelus, he has to respect that, and he cannot force her to beautify herself. And not only that, the Brisa says that he should, you know, get down on all fours, so to speak, you know, get down to the earth, and he should really identify with her avelus. And we'll soon see that there are more quotes of minhag like this, even la halacha lemaisa, that a man whose wife is an avelus, he should participate to some limited extent in her avelus. Ella kofe mitaso. Vinoeg ima avelus. Right, there's one din in avelus which is called kfiya samita. Back in the day, they used to actually turn the beds upside down during avelus. Today, what they do is they cover the mirrors and the window mirrors, I guess you'd say. And he has to identify with her avelus. This is halach of kvod ha'avel. You know, imagine if he would walk around the house in his Sunday best, you know, and puts himself up, you know, and go for a shave and a haircut, and dafka when she's an avelus. That would be, in a sense, disrespectful to his wife. V'chein, now the Braisa flips it around the other way. He shemeis chamel o chamosa, meaning her husband is an avelus. Eni rishol lios kocheles vios pokeses. This is not the time for her to tramps around with her beautiful faputz to this. Ela kofa mitasov no hegesim avelus. But one thing is clear. The Braisa doesn't distinguish between these two cases in terms of the Iser Yichud. The Braisa is making an exact parallel between her avelus and his avelus. If you want to suggest that there are differences in halacha in terms of the relationship between him and her, between her being an avelu and his being an avel, then that should have somehow been reflected in the language of the Braisa. The Braisa doesn't make any distinction whatsoever between his avelus and her avelus. On the contrary, the Braisa has an exact equation between the two. So the Gemara says that question also can be answered. And Tani, we should actually add a piece to the Braisa here. Shabbat Velus the day who Yashin ben Anoshim, Ishta Yashin ben Anoshim. Meaning, this Braisa was only interested in one issue, and that is the respect, the mutual respect. I mean, again, mutual, not at the same time, but, you know, in different situations for the Avelus of him or her. But the Braisa is not addressing the issue of Yichud. And in terms of Yichud, we would be more machmir imposing an Issa Yichud when he's an Avel, as opposed to the case where she is an Avelus. But again, if you go back to the Lashon of Braisa, we're stuck with the same word v'chein again, because the Braisa goes out of its way to add the word v'chein, v'ha-v'chein k'tani, and that would seem to indicate an absolute equation that knows no exception. And the Gemara says, ki k'tani, what is the word v'chein referring to? It's not an absolute equation that would extend and include even the Issa Yichud, but rather akichul ve'apirkus, that just like during her period of Avelus, he has no right to expect and demand that she beautify herself, so too, if he is an Avelus, she is enjoined from beautifying herself, because that would undermine his state of Havelus. However, as far as Yichud is concerned, Enechinami, we have to add to this price of the following distinction. And that is that if he's in Havelus, there's an Isur Yichud. If she's in Havelus, there is no Isur Yichud. But now, we go back to a different language of the Braisa, and that is Vaha Imo Ktani. You look in the Braisa, and the Braisa says that if he loses a relative, then she should also exhibit Avelus. In Yiddish we would say Prava Avelus, right? If you don't mind me throwing in a Yiddish word here and there. And the Braisa uses the word Ella no Kofig Mitoso Vinoheges Imo Avelus. And the Gemara is wondering what that word emo signifies. And the Gemara thinks that the word emo means that she's with him in the same house, meaning even though he's in Avel, she doesn't have to check out of the house or, you know, sleep amongst the ladies. There's no Isa Yichud. So the Gemara says, lo, you misinterpreted the word emo. Emo is not indicating a heter Yichud, but rather emo babayis. It means that she... Okay, now, this phrase, emo babayis, is a little bit tricky. It's a little bit misleading, you know, at least if you translate it literally. Because it sounds like she can be alone with him in the house. And now the Bryce is insisting that she cannot be alone with him in the house because he's an author. So the word emo, the phrase emo babayis has to be reinterpreted. Kida amar le rab chia rav le chia brei bi apa nahog avelusa. That what the Braisa means to tell you is a limitation rule in her, how shall I say, empathetic avelus, if you know what I mean. Her experience or implementation of empathetic avelus is emo babayis. What does that mean, emo babayis? Bi apa nahog avelusa. That in the presence of the avel, let's say if he's in avelus and she's in his presence, she should empathize with him and vice versa. Delo bi apa, but let's say she's in a different part of the house, she's not in his presence, lo tinhog avelusa, she doesn't have to identify with his avelus. And therefore, the Braisa adds the words emo, noheges emo, the word emo, avelus. So the din of avelus, of a baal and a husband, is kvod ha'avel. And that halach of kvod ha'avel applies only in a case of lifnei ha'avel, in the presence of the avel. Now here I wanted to mention the Ramah to you. The Ramah in Yoredei Shinai and Dalet, which is the center of the laws of avelus, says that today our minig is that a husband does not have to be knowing avelus during his wife's avelus or vice versa. And the assumption is that since this halacha of empathetic avelus is built on kavod, there's an assumption of mechila. However, the Ramah adds that kol ha-machmir be'inyin zeh, if a person wants to take on a chumrah and he wants to be marek tzas avelus, again, I don't know exactly what that means, we'll have to figure that out. If he wants to prava a little bit of avelus, then he says the following. He says, Adli achar Shabbos Rishona Shali achar Kvura. Apparently the laws of avelus are more intense from the period of Kvura until Shabbos, the first Shabbos. The Eino Rochets, the Eino Mishana is called Begadav Kmo Bishar Shabbos. And he wants to advocate that this kind of identifying with his wife's avelus should reflect itself in how he prepares for Shabbos. He should not prepare for Shabbos in the way he normally would. He should be toned down about it. And the reason for that is because she is an avelis. Okay, so that's just a point that I wanted to add to this discussion. So again, when the Braisa says no heges imo avelus, and we said that imo means imo babayis, that means that when she's in his presence, then she should exhibit an empathetic avelus and be noig minog avelus. But if she's not with him, she's not in his presence, then she's not required to do so. Now at this point, the Gemara goes back to the original question at the very beginning of this page. And on the one hand, it seems that avelus requires this gigantic chumrah of an iser yichud, whereas nida doesn't require that chumrah. And that means that in the case of nida, there's more of a natural fear of violation of transgression, which will in some sense neutralize tkifas yitzra. And therefore, the case of avelus is more chamur than the case of nid. However, paradoxically, we find that during avelus a wife is allowed to do all the malachas for her husband, including the malachos of chiba, whereas in nida, the halacha becomes very harsh and imposes an isur of mezigas hakos and the like, which again in avelus would be muta. And the answer that we have so far is that enochinami in avelus, if he is in avelus, we have to be more strict about it. If she's in avelus, we could be less strict about it. But ultimately, we really haven't come to terms with the fact that in nida we find a certain chumrah that we don't find in avelus. That in nida, mezikas hakos is prohibited, whereas in avelus it was permissible. So it seems like at this juncture in the Gemara, when Rav Ashi steps into the picture, the Gemara is pointing out that although we have reconciled and answered our problems, but we really didn't do an adequate job. And what we're saying is that on the one hand, we're going to be very strict in avelus, and we're going to impose an isa yichud. On the other hand, we're going to be very liberal and lenient in avelus, allowing her to perform mezika sakos. Just one second. I just want to make sure I didn't mislead you what I said. Just one second. Right, let's go back to the statement of Rabbi Yitzchak. Now, this is the kind of sugi you have to review over and over again. The Gemara says, "Kom lacha she'isha osel bayil nidosel bayil chutz mi'mezigas hakos." And in Avelus we said that mozeges lo kos. Ah, so we have one answer. So I correct what I said before. And that is to be machalik between Avelus didei and Avelus dida. That the heter of mezigas hakos in the case of Avelus is limited to the case where she is an Avela and she's not going to let him overcome her, overpower her. That's one answer. Okay, so we have that one answer. Now we want to introduce Rav Ashi as a different answer. Rav Ashi Omar, ki komedames avelus de hachal avelus de alma. He says that the premise of our contradiction was an equation between the avelus of the chasan to avelus the alma, other cases of avelus, someone who's not a chasan. Avelusa the alma chamir. In his mind, avelus is very severe and very strict. He won't let his tkifas yitzro get a hold of him, get the best of him, and therefore they allowed her to pour his wine. But Avelus Dahach, in the case of the Chasan, that's where we're very strict. That's where we have a fear of Asi L'Zalzuli Bei. And why is that so? Kevan De Akilu Bei Rabbanan. The Rabbanan were very makil with regard to this entity of Avelus in the case of a Chasan. And therefore, Asi L'Zalzuli Bei, he will come to be Mizalzil in the Isur of Bia, of Dvarim Shebitzina. Now, what we have to analyze at this point is what exactly is this concept called Ikilu Beirabon? My Kula, yeah?
The fact that they allowed him to get married to begin with.
Oh, so the Gemara is not ready for that yet. You'll have to wait a minute for that. The Gemara says, Elam, if we'll say that the Kula is the Ketani. Boel be'ilas mitzvah u'poresh. The Gemara now checks out the following possibility. That not only did they rush the wedding, but they also allowed him be'ilas mitzvah. Now his status is that of an onen, or her status. And therefore, an onen is asur b'tashvish hamita. Again, that all fits in with the Ramban Shita, and we've discussed this time after time, that the Rambam Shita is that there is no Iser Be'ilas Mitzvah in the case of an Onen, and therefore if we're before Kvura, then this is not really a Kula. So the Ramban seems to have the upper hand over here, and that there's a real Kula in allowing Be'ilas Mitzvah. If you recall, we gave two interpretations why Chazal were Mekil, and they lifted the Iser Be'ila in this case. One was in order to initiate the Shiva Simea Mishta so they could have the Suda, and the other was in order to make it into a Chupa Ru'ula Bia. But be that as it may, within the Ramban's frame of reference at least, we have a Kula.
Yeah.
However, if we assume that an Onen is Muta B'tashmish, like the Rambam Shita, then where is the Kula over here?
Well, the Kula, as we discussed, even for the Rambam, that's a... he's not happy with the idea of Bia during Aninus.
Meaning, if the Rambam would agree, that was the Ritz Geus, I think we once wanted to say that it's a Maisa Simcha, is that what you mean?
Something along those lines.
Okay.
That they're Dechia, that they're Docha, the burial to so they can have the bee in the first place.
Oh, so that, let me just think about what you said. So wait, you know what? Maybe my analysis here is a little premature. Let's read another two lines in the Gemara. The Gemara says the following: how can you tell me that boel beilas mitzvah is a kula chasam? In the case of the chasam, that they were matir be'ilas mitzvah, mishum delo chalal of avelus. That's because they haven't buried the dead yet. And if they haven't buried the dead yet, then in the worst case scenario, all you have is an Iser onen. And the Iser onen does not generate an Iser be'ilah. Fakir, this Gemara is not a cash on the Rambam, but rather would seem to be an explicit support to the Rambam. Now, exactly at what point the Iser Anidus terminates and is replaced by the Iser Avelus, that's a matter of a machlok shin Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Ila Rabbi Eliezer, acheyetze mi pesach habayis. We don't have to wait until the actual burial of the dead. Once the dead has been removed from the house on its way to the cemetery, that itself initiates Avelus. Ila Rabbi Yeshua, acheyistal magoleh, which Rabbi Yeshua waits until Kvura. But be that as it may, everyone agrees that Avelus begins with Kvura. Here in our case, the Kvura in any shape or form has not begun yet, and all you have is Aninus, and therefore it's not a Kula to allow the Chasan to be Boel Bilas Mitzvah, the Kala, because that is exactly what the Iser is. So now we have a Pumfaket situation. We have to explain this sugya according to the Ramban, because the Rambam is very smooth. He holds that in Aninus there is no Issa Tashmit, and that's why the Gemara objects. This is not a Kula. Boel Bilas Mitzvah is not a Kula. Faker, according to the Ramban, we have to figure out why does Gemara reject the idea of a kula? This, in fact, is a kula because the Ramban Shita is that there's an Isatasha Mita during Aninus. So the Ramban answers the following. This is in his Sefer called Torah Sa'adam, quoted here in the footnote. He says, "Afshe min adin osa v'tashm shamila hamita v'kilu chachamim mikol makom ein zu kula ba'avelus ela kula ba'anis." This I don't understand, because the way I was brought up, and I see I have to revamp everything that I learned until now, the Ramban Shita was that avelus begins with misa, and there's no reason to wait and postpone until Kvura. Now the Ramban is saying no, that Aninus Lechud and Avelus Lechud, that's two separate entities, meaning they overlap, but yet there's two separate kiyumim, if you will. One is a kiyum of Kvodo Shalmes, we'll call it Aninus, and the other is a kiyum of Avelus. So the kula here is not a kula in Avelus, it's only a kula in Aninus. And what he really means to say is, therefore, as soon as the mess is buried, and there's a transition between from Aninus to Avelus, we're not going to allow any sort of kula of bia. And therefore, there's no reason that would necessitate an imposition of a harsh Isur Yichud, because now within the framework of Avelus, there is no kula. The normal, regular halachas of the Isur Avelus, including Tashamita, are in full force. And why then would he be Mekil and allow his Yetzirah to get the best of him? He's got a full-fledged Iser Avelus. But again, as I said at the outset, I think this Gemara reads a lot more simply or smoothly according to the Rambam Shita, that there's no kula here of allowing Bilas Mitzvah until Kvura begins, because Aninus doesn't engender any sort of Iser Tashmish Shamita. That's the straightforward black and white shot in the Gemara. Ella, the Gemara says, what's the kula? Dekatani. The Brisa says, Noeg Shivasimea Mishta, the Achakach Noeg Shivasimea Velus. This makes no sense at all, Rabosai. The halacha is that after Chuppah, after the Nesuin, we begin Shivasimea Mishta. The dead has not been buried yet. And we know that if the dead is buried during Yontif, during Moed, Avelus is postponed until after the Moed. So why is it then that there's a special kula here that Shiva Simei HaMishta precede the Shiva Simei HaVelus? That's just a reflection of the universal halachas of Avelus. There's no separate kula here in Avelus that would therefore entice the chassid to think that he could be laid back about the Isur Tashmish HaMita. And therefore, the Mefarshim say that what the Gemara really means, and this is the famous Chassam Sofer, that the fact that they allowed the marriage to take place and therefore initiate the Shiva Simei HaMishta, rather than push for Kvura, that itself is a kula. In other words, you know, the question is, which came first, the chicken or the egg? You know, if we go back to the source of it, the reason why the Shiva Simei HaMishta will be observed and the Shiva Simei HaVelus will be postponed is only because they postponed the Kvura for the sake of being mocked in the Chuppah. That's really the source of the problem. That's really the kula. And the Chassam Sofer says that Kevan, I'm reading the Chassam Sofer's language, Kevan shebeis lo mes kodem ha-chuppah, min adin ha-yetzarech lios likvar ha-mes tchila, and therefore to postpone the Shiva Simei Mishta to after Shiva Simei Avelus. So when the Gemara speaks about the sequence here, says the Chassam Sofer, you have to go deeper into the reasons that underlie this sequence, and that is the fact that we postponed the Kvura and we were mocked in the Chuppah. That's where the kula lies, and that's what we did in this case. And you know, in the mind of the chassan, again, if I explain this more on a psychological level, he thinks that, wait a minute, you know, this is not... What'd he say?
Once they're being mekel, allowing me to get married. So
I could be a little bit more mekel as far as the Isur Tashmish HaMita, and especially during the Shiva Simei HaMishta, right, when he's involved in Mishta. Right.
And he's saying, no, I should celebrate for seven. Chazal is saying, let me celebrate.
And all the avails has been postponed. So what are you left with? The only vestige is the Isur Bila, you know.
Doesn't fit, right.
you know, let's just be makel about that. When the Yetzer gets the best of him,
and therefore you have to separate because it's
correct. So that's the Chasam Sofer. However, there is one other approach that I wanted to call to your attention. I underlined it here. Let me just read it again. So again, the first approach is Hakulahi Etzemashi Tirilo Lisa Kodem Akvura. Okay, that's the Chasam Sofer. The second approach is Sheitirlo Lisa Bimei Aninus. Now this again, I think, would reflect the Ramban Shita only. Because again, the Ramban holds that all of Isurei Ovel are, right, overlap in Aninus, are superimposed on the Onen, including the Isur Nisuin. So the fact that they were Mekil, allowing him Nisuin, is a Kula in Avelus itself. Again, this, on the one hand, makes sense according to the Ramban, that because the Ramban holds that an Onei is chayv to be knowing all dinim, all isurim of avels. But on the other hand, it contradicts the other Ramban that we said, in which we differentiated between aninus and avels. And the Gemara rejected the Baal Bilas Mitzvah Poresh as a kula, because that was a kula of aninus, which doesn't reflect itself in avels. So the fact that they allowed nisuin during Aninus, before the Gfura, that doesn't seem to be a kula. Omar Mar, Benkach, Ubenkach, Lo Yivol, Lo Bi Erev Shabbos. Just give me a second here. The Lo Bi Motzai Shabbos, Bishleim of Erev Shabbos, Mishum Chabura. Okay, that's the big sugya. El motzai Shabbos amai lo. What's so terrible at allowing Bila Rishona motzai Shabbos on Rav Zera? And here we turn to Daf Heyam and Aleph. Mishum cheshbonos. Okay, so we have here a concept called cheshbonos, that if he's going to consummate the marriage with a big blast Seuda on Motzei Shabbos, then during Shabbos he's going to start calculating how much this is costing him, and therefore he's going to, in a sense, again, I don't know what to say over here, because it's not really a violation of Shabbos.
Vidavidavo, as Rashi says.
Right. But what does Rashi mean by Vidavidavo over here if he's talking about cheshbonos?
This mirrors to say mutlach.
Well, it sounds like he's sharing it with others.
Oh, he's sharing it with others.
Just in his head.
So it's not just a matter of choshev machshavos, right, of cheshbonos, but he's also speaking it out. Honestly, I'm not sure that is exactly what the Gemara means over here.
Either way, it's difficult.
Why? If you're going to say he speaks it out,
he speaks it out. So what? That's a reason not to.
If we're afraid of that, then it's a chashash of an isa doraisa. The dabra dover is doraisa, I think.
Is it doraisa?
Well, it's the sugya of the dabra dover is that is the sugya of the dabra dover is the sugya in Shabbos daf kuf yud gimel, and the Gemara there derives it from the pasuk of the dabra dover. Now, is that an Issa d'oraisa or not?
If that's a d'oraisa, we have problems.
Yeah, I mean, Nishtav Shabbos Geret, but it's already sold, right? The famous story. So, but in any event, the Urayim, you heard of the Urayim, he was one of the Bali Atosis, he writes that he's not sure if this Isur of Adabu Dovar is an Isur Doraisa called Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, or it's an Isur Medivri Kabbalah that's derived from the Pasuk in Yeshayahu Anavi of Adabu Dovar. If it's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, then the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Yud Gimel quoting the Pasuk of Adabu Dovar, that's only an Asmachta. And sometimes the Gemara wants to, you know, show you that even a Halacha Moshe Misinai can be attached to a pasuk, but it's really a Halacha Moshe Misinai. That's a Doraisa. If, on the other hand, it's really derived from this pasuk in Yeshayo Anavi, that's only Divrei Kabbalah. But you should know that even Divrei Kabbalah is more than just an Issur Rabbanan. So V'dabru Davar is a pretty serious business.
I guess the question is,
anyone who says, you know, Nishtach Shabbos Karet, you should quote to him the Gemara in Ksubis on Daf Hayam and Aleph that prohibited getting married or having a Suda on Motzi Shabbos because of V'dabru Davar.
I guess the question is defining that category. In other words, at what point, when you mentioned the score of the baseball game, is that, does it have to be something along the lines of where you're making an actual, cheshbon, something dealing with, in other words, at what point is it?
Right. Yeah, you're right.
In other words, when I'm talking today with my kids, and I'm talking, I'm not that holy that it's only all Shabbos talk for 24 hours.
Right. Okay, you're right. Maybe this Gemara is only limited to calculations.
That's right.
Right. They're talking about how much to pay. I would buy into that. So, in order to really analyze that, we would take a look in the Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim. I have to tell you exactly what siman it is. Does he tell you in the Ein Mishpat? I can't see. It's a little bit too small for me. I think it says siman Shin Vav. Is that what it says?
Shin Vav.
So if anybody wants to bring in a Mishnah Berurah Shin Vav, we can try to take a quick shkayach. We can try to take a quick peek there. I'm not sure if we'll get a quick answer to your question.
But again, the question is, you're going to push off a wedding because of that chashash? In other words, the other one, you're talking about a serious malacha, Erev Shabbos.
Right.
In other words, that's a clear-cut av malacha. Here you're talking about, clear-cut, but it's going
to be... No, it might be a dovah shenim eskavin, yeah, okay.
Here you're talking about a shema...
A shema on what, though? Again, if it's a shema on a halacha l'moshe misiyah,
but the
Erev
Shabbos isn't a shema.
Even if it's a different kabbalah,
but the Erev Shabbos isn't a shema. The Erev Shabbos issue is a.
I would wait until we get to the sugi, even though we touched on it, but to go through it again.
It says mishum cheshbonos, is everyone going to deal with cheshbonos that day?
I'm convinced, by the way, again, we have to go through the sugya carefully, that even Be'ila Rishona on Leil Shabbos, in the worst case scenario, would only be a Darabana.
Why is that?
Because it's not a psik resha. Why is it a psik resha? Rashi says, because Efshavat Toya. Again, now, that gets into a whole discussion about what psik resha is. If you remember, we discussed about Ziluf Yayin. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
But be that as it may, Rashi definitely goes on record as saying that the Chabura itself is not a psik resha, and therefore it would come under an Issur Darabanan in the worst case scenario. But again, I don't want to say things that are very speculative, but that's my intuitive sense. Here we might have a chash of a Doraisa. But let's see if the Gemara itself is happy with this. The Gemara, right now we're in the Havamina of the Gemara. The maskana of the Gemara is going to be a shechita problem.
Shechting a chicken.
Correct, shechting a chicken. So, but let's go through this sugi. The Gemara says, Amalei Abayim.
The Allah says, Chefsei Shamayim Mutter L'Daber Abayim.
Yeah, well, that's this sugi. That is this sugi.
Right.
So that's exactly why the Gemara rejects this, because right. The Gemara thinks
you're allowed to talk about
right in the case of a Suda. But I was more interested in the Cleveland Indians. Is that okay? Can you spend a minute just finding out over there, if you have already the Mishnah Berurah, can we discuss the rugby? In Australia, for example, you talk about rugby. It's like if you don't talk about rugby, you're a nobody,
The only play on Shabbos is an Indian Shabbos.
What do you say?
The only play on Shabbos is an Indian show Shabbos.
It takes on a Shabbos sticker. I'd hate to apply that to our situation here in Yerushalayim. All right. Abaye. So Abaye says the following. The cheshbono shel mitzvah mi'asiri. This is the very reason why we reject it. And here the Gemara is going to give a whole list of cheshbono shel mitzvah, not the least of which is calculating the seuda for a chasen and kala. V'arav chizda v'arav nuna di'ami chavai cheshbono shel mitzvah mutar lechashbon b'Shabbos. So the classical case is going to be what we call either pidyon shvuyim, Rashi has, or b'niyas beis hakneses. Interesting. You don't want to talk about how much it's going to cost to expand the Beis HaMedrash, and you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. You want to talk about how much it's going to cost to redeem someone who's captured, you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. But it goes even further than that. The Omer Rabbi Lazar, poskim tztokal aniyah v'Shabbos. I mean, this is probably the heter for what we call a Misha Berach on Shabbos. Correct? So I'm allowed to tell, well, it goes even beyond the Misha Berach. In a Misha Berach, I'm really just making a pledge. But what about deciding, you know, in the case of a certain ani, you know, we have the Vaad gets together and they decide, let's discuss how much money we should allocate to a particular ani. Let's say we have 1,000 in the community chest and we have 5 aniyim. How do we divvy up that money? You know, it gets really, really detailed, and you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. But the plot grows even thicker. He says, Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rav Yochanan, Holchim lebatei knesios ubatei medrasos, lefakeach al iskei rabim. And that applies even b'Shabbos. Now, normally, we don't use the shul, or, and how much more so, a house of study for any sort of chulin, you know, divrei chulin. You know, people go into a shul in order to avoid the rain or the snow. You know, you're not allowed to do that, technically. Okay, maybe there's a heter under certain conditions. And here, we're going to gather together the club, you know, the vad, and the community group, in order to discuss all sorts of tzarchei rabin. Again, you have to know exactly how far this goes, but they would normally be considered a misuse of a Beis HaKnesses or a Beis HaMedrash. Now, what's fascinating here is that this statement of Rabbi Yaakov equates two different Isurei Dibur, so to speak. There's an Isur Dibur and a Beis HaKnesses for Cheshbonos of Tzarchei Chulin, and that's a violation of Kedushas Beis Knesses. There's also an Isur Dibur on Shabbos, which is a violation of Kedushas Shabbos, and Rabbi Yaakov combines them in one breath. And he says that if it's for Tzarchei Rabim, then it's Mutter. I mean, this could have tremendous implications as far as a kibbutz is concerned. You know, where they have all sorts of meetings to determine Tzarchei Chulin of the community. Rabban, did you find anything? You know, no, as far as Cleveland Indians.
I'm listening to you.
Oh, okay. You can't do two things at once. All right. The Omar, now again, the list grows and grows and grows. The Omar of Yaakov Bar Idi Omar of Yochanan Mefakhin Pikuach Nefesh B'Shabbos. Rabosai, I submit to you, I have no clue what this is all about. Anything that has to do with pikuach nefesh, I mean, obviously, v'chaibah, and you're allowed to violate the Shabbos. You're telling me that what? You're allowed to be medaber diburei chol on Shabbos for the purpose of atzolas adam because of pikuach nefesh. Like, give it a break. Maiko mashmon. I mean, for pikuach nefesh, you're allowed to violate any malacha in the 39, the list of 39 malachas.
Oh, probably not.
So I have here a quote from the Shulchan Shlomo. Is that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach?
It went dark on me.
Okay. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that we're talking about a case she'en kan sakana miyadit. There's no immediate sakana.
That
maybe down the line there will be a sakana. Okay, so that itself needs a lot of study. So remind me, Rabosai, please make a note of it, that we're up to the Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmen. Okay, that's where we're... We're going to have a fascinating discussion about hiring teachers on Shabbos. It's, you know, actually, terms of employment. You know, how much they should be paid.